You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and I am joined by Blake, the intern. Blake, how are you?
It's a good day. Hoops is on the up. Football is on the up. Thanksgiving is right around the corner, so all things are good for me right now.
It is, and in most years, as in this year, Thanksgiving will be a weekend off for the North Dakota State football team. I couldn't, I guess, possibly imagine them losing to St. Thomas, but even if it did happen, they would still certainly not have to play on Thanksgiving weekend. We'll get into that St. Thomas game, of course. But for right now, let's dive into the news. Pretty good, clean bill of health, relatively healthy football team in general. There's a couple guys out for the season. We've had those discussions, right? Your Alt Peters, your Alex Elliott's, things of that nature. But as far as the two deep, not super affected. And right now, everyone just kind of waiting on Finn Diggins. Obviously, if Finn Diggins doesn't play against St. Thomas, he buys himself two more weeks to get ready for the opening round of the playoffs, so you never know. But maybe they, you know, depending on where he's at, maybe he can play 10 or 12 snaps just to sort of knock the rust off before getting, again, 2 weeks off. McLean Miller, he's a fullback running back type,
yep.
I think. Medically retired, and I think he's going to transfer back home or somewhere closer to home is what Polisek said.
That's what it sounds like, yep.
And a late addition to the men's basketball roster, Eli Sylvester, 6'8" from Nigeria. Some places list him as 6'10". We're not 100% sure. Big body. He'll walk on to the program. He'll practice. You know, NDSU certainly in the market for that third big. I don't know what to expect, whether to put any expectations on young Mr. Sylvester at all. But again, like you said, he looks like a five at least. So, you know, I think your third five was like Caleb Shenrock at this point, right? It's just good to have a third center body type, even again for practice purposes. So, interesting there. Speaking of that basketball team, big one over Southern Illinois. Anytime you beat a Valley team, it's big. They're picked in the middle of the pack in the league, big seventh. But they won four straight, sweeping the homestand. Of course, two of those were non-D1s. But you get two Division I wins at home. You move your record from 0-2 to 4-2. It'd be hard to be disappointed, obviously, in this little run.
Yeah, I'm not going to probably stop talking about this all non-conference, but they are shooting 30% from three away from being 6-0.
Right. Yeah.
That's a little bit frustrating, but a little bit of a sign of optimism to be like, all right, if they shoot the way they have the last, three and a half games or so, I would say, then things are looking pretty good on the forward trajectory. But yeah, really impressed with what I saw on what night was that? Monday night in the shack. A lot of threes. Remind me a little bit of last year, a little bit. Tay Smith got going. TC hit some big shots. Carson Smith, ice in his veins. Marcus Strickland's a dude. He's going to break a rim at some point. Yeah.
So they only pounded it inside. They have multiple lineups with two guys, 6'10 or taller. Like a Spanish dude. I mean, they were good.
Yeah.
Up front, certainly.
Yeah, the one guy, I don't even know how to say his name. It's like Eligby or something like that. The Minnehaha kid, which is the same high school, I believe, is Chet Holmgren.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a problem. Just looking, I mean, they were bigger probably than NDSU was.
Oh, for sure they were.
And that obviously gave them problems, but they can't shoot. And that's kind of what kept them, you know, tight with the Bison, is they only made three threes. And really, they didn't even look to shoot much.
But they played seven-footer Max Picard often, or occasionally, together with Jorge Moreno.
Sure.
As you mentioned, Prince Eligbe at 6'7", but he plays bigger than that. Like, these are good players. And then Quelron House, he cracked me up because, obviously, it's a unique name, Quelron. It's Quelron. Yep. Quelron is a unique name, certainly. But Dan Michaels, God bless him, accidentally announced a foul on him that wasn't on him. And so very loudly, he started shouting his own name, which I found to be very funny. Like, he turned around and was like, Quelron, Quelron. And the whole arena could hear him yelling Quelron because he did not commit the foul. It just cracked me up because he was like, Quelron who? I mean, it was just very, very funny.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh gosh. I was dying laughing because he was so mad the foul absolutely was not on him, and Dan Michaels made an honest mistake, and he just was like mad. But anyway. Yeah, they channeled the Bombs Away Bison from last year, 16 threes. You know, they're up at 32%, right on the door of 33%. And, you know, 33% is that magical mark, right? Because if you shoot 33% from three, you shoot 50% from two, and you take the same amount of shots, you end up with the same amount of points. So 33% is not necessarily a good percentage, but it's that break-even point where it's worth taking a three, right? So, yeah. Like, if you take 20 threes and you make six of them, you know, if you take 18 threes and you make six of them, that's your break-even where you'd have 9 points. And if you make 9 of 18 from two-point land, how many points do you have?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening close enough.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I was forming my own thought.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The point is, if you make six threes, you make nine twos, you end up with 18 points.
Yes. Okay. Yes, you do.
Oh, man. Damari Wheeler-Thomas, great game. 24 points, including four threes. It's clear what he spent last year on. And, I mean, with that mid-range game, that's dangerous. Because we already know he can handle the ball. If he can, now he's playing off the ball because they're having Andy run the point. So if he can shoot like that, and there's going to be points too where we're going to get blow-bys. There'll be pump fakes because guys are scared of the three. Two dribbles in, midi. Three dribbles in, floater. Like, all of that can now come off of the fact that he can make an open three. That's scary stuff for the Summit League.
Yeah, for sure. Trying to get over it, I just embarrassed myself. But, no, I mean, that's the thing is, the first 2 years of Damari, you saw that midi, and that midi stuff. That Chris Paul, like, elbow jumper kind of deal. Really crisp. And he can get downhill, he can do those things.
He's also moved the midi to the baseline a little, too. I don't know if you've noticed that. That's interesting.
He hit one against, I think it was CSUN, he hit one from the baseline.
Yeah.
And then he hit one in the first half against SAU. I'm like, all right, all right. You know, but even Dave said it in the presser Monday. He's like, there weren't a lot of great things about Damari being out last year, but the one thing that resulted from that is him working on his three-point shot. And yeah, that's been very evident through, what, six games now? He was kind of cold the first couple, but especially the last three or four, he's really finding his groove. And I do kind of like, you know, he is a point guard, just naturally.
Oh, for sure.
But just the way he plays at the two is, I don't want to say seamless, but he fits that bill a little bit. A little short, maybe, but like...
Right, but if you need to invert the defensive matchup, you can.
Yeah.
If the other team has a quick one, Damari can just go guard them. Doesn't mean that he needs to bring the ball up the floor and play point guard on offense, obviously. Not a giant crowd, but I thought it was a smart crowd. Got loud when it needed to. Travion Carson really played well. Started to shoot it well. And he does so many other things, including he rebounds the heck out of it.
Yeah, he
good
does.
God. That, you know, when his shot is falling, you start to see why Coach Richmond was so excited about him. And that's pretty common for, I mean, you basically talk about any basketball player would look pretty good if their shot starts falling. But he's a pretty effective basketball player getting 6 or 8 points in a game. Or four.
Yep.
Right. So if his shot starts to fall and he starts to score 10, 12, 14 points a game, then you can start to see where, like, Coach is talking about, you know, being such an effective two-way basketball player. Boy, they went to that 1-3-1 and it was fun. That's not the first time they've done that. They hit CSUN with it a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a fun little wrinkle. I'll never forget the first time Dave whipped that thing out in Grand Forks and won a game up at the Betty with the 1-3-1. I like that. And boy, this is as athletic as they've been 1-5 that I can think of. Just the ability to switch. Markai, I mean, they're just that Travion and Markai allow them to do so much, and I don't know that people understand just how athletic Noah Feddersen is. It's very impressive. I mean, I think people would wish for more offensive efficiency or you know, showing more offensive skill, more ability to score, but Noah is a really, really gifted mover. I mean, he moves his feet extremely well for a 6'10" athlete.
Yeah, he does, and he's not like the best like rim protector ever, but he gets from place to place when he needs to be.
Right. Yeah, you wish he'd block shots a little bit more like a Grant Nelson.
Sure.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I know you make your point on Fetty, but like Strickland is the one that's just such like an anomaly a little bit because he's a four, right? And he's offensively not your traditional four necessarily because of his athleticism, and he can drive to the rim and he can get downhill and that. But, you know, he's not really a threat to shoot the ball. In fact, he's not a threat to shoot the ball at all. But this is your four playing the top of your 1-3-1 zone. I mean, he's that kind of athlete. And just the way he gets his hands.
Did you notice they played him at center for like 3 minutes?
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not notice that.
Yeah.
And that's fine if they want to do that. But what you said about TC, I mean, it reminds me a little bit, just a little bit, of like a Draymond. You know, aside from the throwing haymakers at people and arguing with fans and those kinds of things. But you know, he gets his 10, 12 points. Maybe not a great shooter. Kind of a funny-looking shooting form a little bit. But he rebounds that cut of the ball. He's a really incredible defender. I don't know. That's the kind of comp I think of a little bit. I don't know if that's crazy, but
plays less post obviously than sure, Draymond would.
Sure, yeah.
They beat Jamestown a little closer than you like. Got the job done. I kind of mentioned, like, Jamestown just shot the bejesus out of it. And when you do that, it doesn't matter if you're Division II or III or NAI. Like, if you're jacking up threes and they're going through the net, you're going to not get blown out.
Right.
It just is what it is. And ultimately, NDSU ends up winning that game by double digits. Extremely aggressive on defense. They've turned a bunch of takeaways into points, created a bunch of takeaways. They'll go back on the road. They go to Arkansas for a little tournament or multi-team event, whatever. Jacksonville State on Wednesday. Arkansas State on Friday. Yeah, there's still tough non-con games. I think looking at ESPN BPI, they are like 40-60 underdogs in both games. So they're not favored to win either of those games. You'd love, certainly I think you'd love to get a split, right? A sweep would be incredible. I don't know if that's realistic or not. But
yeah.
Certainly, you know, their goal is to win every game. Two really good mid-major matchups on the horizon.
Yeah, I think I was looking at those ESPN BPI things too. And, you know, I know last year they went 11-4 in the non-con. I don't know that that's going to happen this year. Maybe it will. But you still have to go to Montana. You have to go to Drake. You play UC Irvine. I'm forgetting one in there as well. Oh, Bakersfield, which I think is a game they should probably win. But
well, they weren't supposed to win they weren't supposed to win at Santa Clara, and they weren't supposed to win at Butler.
Yeah,
you know.
So we'll see, but I think at least an 8-7 would be above 500. Obviously, I think that's certainly within reason. Is to go 8-7? That would be 4-5. You know, until the USD game on New Year's Eve.
Sure.
Maybe even better, because I think this team has been more impressive to this point of this year than last year's team was at this point last year. So.
Yeah.
They're on a good trajectory.
UNI recap. NDSU finishes with a perfect record in the Valley. It's only the fourth time that's been done. This is their 11th straight win over UNI. That program's in a lot of trouble. I mean, we talked about that, I think, plenty. You know, when we were previewing last week's game.
Yep.
They're in a rough spot. We don't need to bemoan that, I don't think. Great day for Bryce Lance on a day where you would maybe assume he would not have such a big day just because you figure the game script isn't going to call for a lot of throws against a team you expected to beat by a lot. 8 catches for 131 yards and a touchdown. Getting close to a 1,000-yard season. He's at 895 yards, which is top 10 in NDSU single-season history. Jackson Williams was a little bit of a roller coaster.
A little bit.
188 return yards. Had a penalty for throwing the ball at an opponent. And he fumbled a very long kick return that kind of removed the lopsided nature of that game. Or, I mean, obviously NDSU still won by a bunch, but like if the Bison just go in and run a 9-yard Barika Penu touchdown up the middle, like the it just looks different. And so you'd want to get that cleaned up. You certainly wouldn't want that to happen in a big spot in a national semifinal, in a big spot in Nashville. You would want to avoid that, obviously. They allowed a safety, which is just, I mean, coach touched on it. Can't happen. Cannot happen. What Cole Payton trying to be Superman is fun. Cole Payton trying to be Superman in his own end zone, can't do it. Yeah. And I think coach pretty much touched on that.
Yeah, just throw it away. I mean, I don't remember the play exactly, but I'm sure there was probably a running back close by.
Or tuck it and go, right? Like he tried to do that thing where he shakes guys off in the backfield and keeps his eyes downfield, which is a great NFL trait, and it's resulted in so many massive plays you know, over the course of the season. You just can't do it when you're standing on your own paint. That doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, and outside of that, though, he was pretty sharp. 2 incompletions, 200 yards, another Ferrari incident out of the garage.
Yep.
What was it, 64 yards?
Yep.
I mean, he's, I think that's his sixth one over 50, which is kind of crazy. And he's got like four others of 40 plus. It's, I really, I'd be interested to see what, like, previous quarterbacks, what their long, like, their longest touchdown runs were. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how many touchdown runs of 30 plus did Cam have? He had a lot of touchdowns. Like, how many did Easton, how many of his 30 whatever were of long distance? I don't know. I haven't looked into that, but.
Yeah, lot. I mean, Cole's running ability has a Trey Lance quality to it that not Easton, not Cam, not Carson had, honestly. 81 guys played. You did see some true freshmen play. Coach P wasn't thrilled with offensive line production. Saw a new combination where Bo Johnson and Ryan Babbitts played at the same time. That would, you know, obviously resulted in the benching of Josh Magan. Not permanent, but I mean, that's how that works, right? Instead of having Bo Johnson play left guard, they had him play right tackle. That was a new combination that we got to see. St. Thomas, 16 players will be recognized. Finally done with the large classes because of COVID. 10 guys left from the original 2021 signing class. Rajah Unc Nelson will play his 74th career game, which breaks the NDSU record. I think Braylon Henderson's record, I think.
Yeah. Last year.
Take care of business. The rest of the league is sort of fighting for their playoff lives. I think there's a loser leaves town match in Grand Forks. Glenn Caruso was a former NDSU assistant. Really successful at the Division III level. It's been okay in the Pioneer Junior League. I know there's a lot of MIAC football coaches that would like to see St. Thomas get it put on them a little bit. I don't know how likely that is to happen, just because if they do really prioritize getting young guys in, I don't know that they're going to, you know, murder these guys, right? Like, I don't know that that's going to get completely out of hand. And to that end, NDSU's only 32.5-point favorites. St. Thomas is 7-4. They're top 25 in scoring defense, top 20 in scoring, excuse me, top 25 in scoring offense, top 20 in scoring defense, total D and rushing D. But as you point out, they're playing in a non-scholarship D1 league. So all of that has to be considered when you're talking about how good they are. Quarterback Andy Peters has over 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns and can run a little bit. St. Thomas and North Dakota State have not locked horns since 1966 and have just played each other three times since World War II. You wrote down here the O-line rotation. I mean, I don't know what else to, other than, right, do you see Miles Money Mitchell? Do you see Gavin Sell? Like, what do you, like, other than that, there aren't a lot of answers. Because, I mean, there aren't a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Forget the answers. There aren't a lot of questions. Is there anything else you're looking for in this game?
Not really. I just want to see them take care of business, you know, not kind of slog around for a quarter and a half, and now all of a sudden it's, you know, 17-7 or 17-10, and you're kind of going, oh, geez, like this isn't really how you want to finish the regular season off. So I want to see some young guys play. I think coaching staff would love that to be the, you know, the way things go. And honestly, that's the way the starters want things to go. You know, play well so we can get the pups in there, the crop in there. See some Nathan Hayes for the 10th time or 9th time or whatever it is at this point. Which is just insane to me. Your backup quarterback has played in all but, you know, three games. Kind of crazy, but hey, he's getting work, so that'd be what I want to see.
You are absolutely correct. I can't disagree with those any of those points, and I honestly don't even know how many I can add to that. Like today to me is about honoring the seniors and you know, that walk out of the tunnel and then, you know, playing a bunch of young guys. It's a weird spot. I mean, it's not like they've never been heavy favorites on senior day before. They certainly have, but it's a non-conference game. Can't remember the last time senior day was a non-conference game, and certainly a non-conference game against a team that doesn't have scholarships. Like, this is a very unique Saturday. It's a very unique situation that North Dakota State is headed into. Prediction for me, I've got a pretty carbon copy, 42-7 NDSU victory. How about yourself?
Yeah, going to be a lot like last week in my score prediction. The line is pretty much the same. I got 49-10.
49-10 from Blake, 42-7 from me. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to our sponsor, Gateway Chevrolet, for making this podcast happen. And thank you to all of you for listening. Have a great weekend, and go Bison.